From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Sienna, hello, it's Roz and Mocha. How are you today?
I'm good, how are you?
Doing good. What's on your mind today? Why are you here?
I need help with my stage fright.
Wow, you wrote us this, Sienna. Hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. When I was 12, I had to go on stage and perform a song with my friend. Mind you, she can't sing, but I encouraged her to do it anyway. My crush had attended the talent show and was watching me like a hawk. When we were singing, it didn't sound too bad, but then the song got higher and I had this huge voice crack.
Oh, no.
It was so embarrassing. How can I overcome my stage fright?
How old are you, Sienna?
I'm 14.
Okay. 14. And do you have a show coming up? This is why you're reaching out today?
Yeah. I'm in the choir at my school.
Oh, okay. So you and how many other people?
I'd say maybe like 30.
Oh, okay. And how has practice been going so far? All your rehearsals and stuff?
It's been going good. Mm-hmm. I've been able to hit high notes.
But it's the idea of getting out there, huh?
Yep.
I have incredible stage fright. And I know
Why?
That sounds weird because I was on television and do this show and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have to see anybody when we
oh,
do those
sure.
things, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I cannot stand being on a stage. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I'm good at. And that stage is just not a place for me at all.
So let's take it back to last year around this time, Roz.
Yes.
When the book signing,
right?
For your memoir, A Little Bit Broken, available everywhere now.
Yep.
And we had, you know, a couple hundred people show up at Indigo for the book signing. You were on stage. There was a little bit of a interview process that took place, and then there was a lineup of fans wanting to get the book signed.
Right.
How did you feel in that moment, and how did you, because from my perspective looking out at you, it seemed like you were totally fine interacting with everyone, having a good time, shaking hands, signing books, taking selfies. You looked fine.
That's different, though. That was like somebody, it was an interview, and then I just literally sat there and I met people one-on-one, right? But the idea of hosting something or the idea of performing, the any of those things, terrifying.
Really?
Terrifying. I have left so much money on the table over the years because I refuse to host things live.
Yeah.
Right? You get paid a lot of money when you do what we do to go and host an event.
Yeah,
one
yeah,
of those
yeah.
big charity things.
Uh-huh. A
lot of money. And I just won't do it. Right?
Yeah. I don't think we're helping Sienna out right now.
No, but Sienna, I will say this, that the much like what Mocha brought up when we did the book signing, it was a very sort of safe space, and it was all people who wanted to be there, and I felt comfortable being there, and you felt the sort of love. I would say a stage at school where the majority of the audience that's going to be there is family who are going to be hyper emotional anyway, because watching your kid perform anything is such an emotional experience for a parent, that I would say that the room you're walking into right now is just about one of the safest rooms you're ever going to walk into and have to perform something. And just know that everybody in there, one, are extremely forgiving, but two, every single person in that room is pulling for you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to impress anybody. They're not looking to be impressed.
Are your parents going to be at the performance?
They should be, because in March there's a competition.
Oh, okay. One of the things when I was a badass band player, right? I played drums. In high school.
Like the like school band.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the things that I found helped, and I don't know if this will work for you, Sienna, but when I knew my parents were going to be there, I kind of like looked out for them in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I knew where they were, I would always like stare in that direction. And it kind of like made me feel better, even though there were like hundreds of other parents there to see their kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was still a little bit nerve wracking because you're going out in that environment and everyone's watching and listening. As long as I saw exactly where my parents were, I felt a little bit better. So I don't know if that would help you out, Sienna, or if you have siblings who are going to be there or just other friends and family who are going to be there. As long as you can see exactly where they are, that might bring some comfort to you.
Of course.
Yeah. Also, Sienna, I would say that for a lot of times when you're nervous about walking on a stage or about a performance, a lot of those nerves come when you're doubting how prepared you are. And so I think that one way to kind of get over that and not have that interfere with it is to just make sure you are incredibly over-prepared for it. So there's no doubt in your mind about what you're supposed to do on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Have that confidence, girl.
Yeah.
Does that help, Sienna?
Yeah.
All right, girl. All the best. Thank you for reaching out and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Amanda, it's Roz and Mocha. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Why are you here? Tell everyone.
Because I want to know who really is my daddy.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, geez, this is a tough one here. So you wrote us this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, fix my life. About 5 years ago, I took a 23andMe DNA test, which revealed that my biological father is not who I initially thought. Confronting my mother only led to vague explanations. After some searching, I found my biological father, who's aware of my existence, has two younger children, and surprisingly lives just 15 minutes away from me. Last month, I had a brief phone call with him. But I had to mention the possibility of moving to another province just to make it happen. Wow. Waiting 5 years for this conversation has been quite frustrating. Every time I reach out, he claims that he's too busy or it's not a good time. I'm not looking to build a deep relationship or know him extensively. I simply want to understand my heritage and my roots. However, he constantly provides excuses. How can I encourage him to face this situation head on?
Exactly.
Are you having, are these all phone conversations with him or are you communicating through text or like Facebook or something?
In 5 years, I've only had one phone call with him, which was the one I just recently had.
Right.
What prompted you to take the test, the DNA test?
Personally, I had like a lot of health issues and stuff that really made no sense because nobody in my family had the same kind of issues that I had.
Gotcha.
So I did my DNA, my husband did his DNA, and we even did my son's DNA to kind of get some answers behind all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you compare everything, I know that men carry more of like their father's DNA and women carry more of their mother's. So when it came back and said it wasn't what I thought I was.
So how did you, but wait a second here. How did you know that the guy that you thought was your dad wasn't your dad? Like, was he also in the 23andMe system?
He's Italian and I have no Italian in me at all.
Oh, so gotcha. What were your mother's vague explanations, as you put it?
There's a possibility that you have a different father.
Oh,
okay.
Was that the extent of the conversation?
More or less, yes. When I confronted her about it, there wasn't much explanation behind it.
Right.
Just in the sense of, oh, there is a possibility. Well, why didn't you tell me this years ago, considering my mom was adopted?
Right. So the guy who raised you, the Italian, does he know anything about this or no?
I asked my mother to tell him, but I don't believe that she truthfully did.
Okay. And was he like a loving dad? Everything else raised you right?
Definitely not.
Oh, okay.
But I have two other siblings on my biological father's side that I've never met.
Right.
And I have two siblings on my mom's side. And those were the two that I was raised with. So they were treated differently than I was.
Okay. So your biological dad obviously doesn't want you in his life.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, he doesn't want you in his life.
And it doesn't sound like he's told his family about you, which is why he's hesitant to have any type of communication.
They do actually know about me. I've met my biological aunt and my biological grandmother as well.
Okay, so when you say that your biological dad was aware of you, of your existence, does that mean that your mom told him?
He questioned my mom years ago and my mom told him that I wasn't his daughter.
Okay, so your mom, but your mom didn't know. Your mom was probably confused. Did she know 100% that you were this guy's kid?
No.
No. Okay.
Oh.
So she didn't know 100%.
Did she think there was a possibility that you're the daughter of the Italian?
That's what she thought, and that's who she brought me up with.
Right. So was she messing around on the Italian with this other guy?
Yes, she was.
Yes. Okay. So your mom was having an affair.
Yep.
And she got
pregnant.
That's
why she's hesitant to talk about her.
Okay.
He may be your father.
Yes. And was this other guy, was your biological dad hooked up at the time as well?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so they were both having an affair, right?
Amanda, no wonder nobody wants to talk about it.
Okay, so this guy doesn't want to nuke his life because you showed up.
No, and I get that, but like all the hard work's done, right? You don't need to raise me. I'm not here for a handout.
Right, but what do you want from him, though?
I just want to know where I came from. I just want to know my roots, you know, what kind of background they have, medical history, things like that.
So have you phrased it that way? Have you said, hey, listen, I don't want a relationship with you, but if you could just sit down, take, you know, an afternoon and just answer these questions in an email to me, just so I kind of have a map of where to start looking. I won't ask you for anything. I'm not going to ask you to come to my birthday party, but I just have questions, and you right now are the only person in the world who has answers, and I think you owe me that.
Ooh,
yeah, I feel like that's what I deserve, but he's very vague with the answers that he gives me.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, have you said that though? Like everything that Roz just said?
I basically told him, yeah, I just want to know my medical history. I just want to know where I came from. You know, if I can develop a relationship with you one day, great.
He doesn't want that. He doesn't want a relationship with you. So if it's answers that you want, then write up the questions.
Fair enough.
And just leave it at that.
Yeah. Don't mix the two, because right now it sounds like you're kind of floating back between the two, where he may think that you're saying, hey, I just need answers, is like the honeypot to get you into his life. Right. So don't mix the two. Don't mix the two. Just go in straight and say, hey, listen, I don't need you to be my dad. I got one of those kind of lousy, but you know, what are you going to do? But I have questions, and you're the only one who can answer them. So just be a human being. You don't have to be a father, but just be a human being.
Exactly. That's how I look at it.
Does that help, Amanda?
It definitely does. So I really appreciate it.
All right, girl. All the best. Thanks for reaching out.
Scandal.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You're a child of scandal.
Yeah, I definitely am.
Damn.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on Kiss.
All right, Cindy, it's Roz and Mocha. Time to get into it. Welcome to FML. Let everyone know what's going on in your life.
Okay, I'm looking for some advice about friendship. Facing some friendship dilemma.
Yeah, you wrote it, says, hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. On several occasions, I've turned to friends I thought I could trust with whom I've had a relationship for some time. However, it seems that these friends only reach out when they need advice, and I've always been very helpful, but when I approach them for a favor, they tend to vanish and play a game of hide and seek with me. This is just one example, and there are many more instances like this.
Give us an example of something that you've asked them for in return.
Okay, just like, it's a really simple thing. It was like, with my current situation, and I asked like if I can just staying over for like a night as a small favor. It's not like I'm gonna live for free, like, but sometimes it's like, even when I try to talk to some friends, like I feel like if we're friends, like from coworkers or people that I know for a long time, but they are just, I just feel like I've been ignored. Like, I think it shouldn't be the way. Like, friends should be helping each other.
Do you think maybe, and this is a tough thing to realize, but do you think maybe they mean more to you than you do to them?
Yes, yeah. Sometimes I feel like my value is not, like, maybe I need them sometimes, but they don't really
need me. Yeah.
Are you the one that's always reaching out to them? Are you the one that's always, like, texting them or calling to make plans or, yeah?
And sometimes I just give up, yeah, because I feel like, because what's the point? Because I've been trying to do my part if they are not respecting me in a way.
Now, are these friends like from work or friends from like your childhood, from school, from the neighborhood? Where do these friendships develop?
Yeah, I have friends. One of them I have been like, be very honest with, I told her because from a high school friend.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of them like from programs or other schools. Like one of them from workplace, but she has busy lives too, so I don't know, like, I'm not trying to ask too much, but sometimes I expect the same. Yeah, because if I'm messaging you or call you, you should, yeah. If you're not free, at least let me know, right? Not like keep me hanging there.
Yeah, I mean, people are selfish, right? And they are so wrapped up in their own worlds. And when they have drama in their world, they are like, oh, my God, I need to reach out to all these people and I need my crew to help me get through this situation. But oftentimes when they're needed in that same way, they do vanish. And that is maybe a product of they're not the great friends you think they are. Or you maybe you're a much better friend than they are. And I don't know what to do with that, because that is, you can have a conversation. And I'll tell you exactly how the conversation's going to go. You could sit down and explain all of this to them. Hey, listen, when you guys need me, I am there. But, you know, when I got something going on, I reach out to you and I feel like you're ghosting me. And they're going to turn this so far back on you and so fast that you won't even know what to do with that conversation. They're going to make you sound like you're that of course they're there and you know they're there, but they're busy. And it's going to be awful. Like the whole situation is going to be awful if you bring this up. There's no sort of way to have this conversation with people who aren't already your great friends. If you have a great friend and they let you down, you can have that conversation because they will understand there's something in the friendship that needs to be repaired. I don't know if these people see a problem in the relationship. I think to them it's fine.
Cindy, do you have other people in your life that you could lean on for things like this, for when you need advice?
No.
Or you need to vent or anything like that?
No. Like, no? I tried counseling and other places, but not really. Mm-hmm. I just keep a diary, keep things to myself. But I have certain selective friends, but it's just been like a lot of situations with things like I have been very friendly, helping. I expect the same way.
Maybe some of the stuff that you want to bring up with them, maybe they don't know how to respond. They don't know how to deal with it. You know what I mean? Where seeking professional help might be beneficial.
Yes.
It would be great if everybody sort of gave what they got, right? It would be great. Agreed. That would be wonderful, but it doesn't work that way.
Yes.
And I think that maybe if you want to try and have a conversation, don't have one with a bunch of different people. I think pick one person that sort of their distance hurts the most, that you feel that you're maybe the closest to, and just ask for a conversation and don't put it all on them. Like you're blaming them for, you know, disappearing or anything like that. But just let them know what they mean to you. And then at the end of that conversation, they may not even know that they were ignoring you. They may be completely oblivious, because people are often oblivious to the things that everybody around them is going through. But instead of just saying, hey, why don't you, just have a conversation with them to let them reassure them of what they mean to you.
If I could do things on my own, at my age, I would just be living independently, be on my own. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have all those stress.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Maybe you sort of, it's a terrible thing to say, but maybe you know, look for new friends, which is an impossible thing to do as an adult. But there's things, yeah. there's places you can go. There's sort of groups you can join, kind of get out of the house, get out of your shell, get out of your head. And, you know, maybe look into that. Maybe look into sort of expanding your friend group or your social group. Maybe that's the next step for you.
Okay, Cindy?
Okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, love.
All right, girl, you
okay.
Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
Update.
Karen, hello. Welcome back to the Roz and Mocha Show. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You sound a lot different than you did the first time around we talked to you, which was just back in August. So it wasn't that long ago.
So we, if I remember correctly, you had quit your job because of the emotional and psychological trauma that your coworkers were putting you through. You worked in the medical field. And
correct.
You felt that it was harassment. You didn't know what to do about it. Your patients loved you, but the staff would sit around socializing all day and you rarely sat with them. You hardly took lunches because you were expected to work like a machine instead of a human being. And you left, right?
Correct.
You did. And so and you were having a hard time, like, even contemplating getting back into the workforce because you were so shook from that experience and how you were treated at your previous job that you just didn't want to do anything.
And wasn't your, didn't you say something about your doctor being worried about your mental health as well because this was affecting you so much?
Yes, because originally I went off my job for a physical injury and yeah. He was more concerned about my mental health. Mm.
So refresh people, give us a little bit of a refresher of sort of like what your day-to-day was like at that job that was so traumatic for you.
I was just always on my feet, very seldom could sit down. I had a direct supervisor that would get in my face like literally four times a day, like, make sure you do this, make sure you do that, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, you can only take that so many times. And I snapped one day and I'm like, look, why don't you go bug the people over on the other side that are sitting on their butts socializing? Mm. I've been here longer than you and I know what I'm doing.
And you thought maybe this was an age thing, right?
The majority of the girls I was working with were young. Mm-hmm. Young.
Yeah. And they all had their own little core group and yeah. You were somewhat on the outside, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So one of the things that Roz had just suggested to you at that time was to lean forward, just go for it, just get a new job, right?
Exactly.
Deal with everything else and just go for it. So what did you end up doing?
I got a new job.
There you go.
Look at that, easy.
What are you doing now?
I'm in the same profession, different position, but a much more positive atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. Nice. What are the people like that you're working with?
Very bubbly, friendly. Like, it's like we're a little family. And yeah. I've only been there, I'm on week two right now.
Oh, wow. And you get along with your boss?
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what about your the other staff? Are they younger? Are you closer in age now? What's the breakdown?
It's a good mix. But so that, I think it kind of balances.
Are you getting along with the younger staff, though?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And are you happier? It sounds like you are.
I am very happy.
Yeah, are you good. Glad that you kind of like just, you went for it and you just said, screw it, I'm just going to go for this job?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm definitely happy.
Do me a favor. All those stories from your previous employment?
Yes.
Don't say any of it at work.
No.
Don't say, oh my God, this place is so much better than my other. Don't say anything like that. Nothing. Okay. Don't bring it up. Don't let anybody know what happened. Don't let anybody know that you came from that, because what will wind up happening is there will be a day where, because you work in an office and there's people there, that you're going to have a disagreement. Okay. And as soon as you have that first disagreement, that's when somebody's going to go, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
You're the problem. Keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, Karen.
All right.
Real quick, before we let you go, how's your mental health? Everything's okay?
Everything's great.
Yeah, you're still on the positive path?
On the positive path.
Good. Okay. That's good to awesome. Hear, Karen. Thank you so much for getting in touch again.
No problem.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.